Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Gordon, joining me as always is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the LiveX studios.
From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV.
I don't know what that's about. Oh, I love it. I love it. We're off the rails already. I'm coming to you live from a very live environment at the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us from across the street from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do you have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we enjoy the view from atop the NFC after the win over the Seahawks and get ready for the Packers' trip to the hellscape that is U.S. Bank Stadium to take on the Vikings. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Joe, no one believed in him, Barry.
We got the bad. We got
Aaron Rodgers throwing interceptions in the end zone.
We got the ugly. We got
injuries. Always with the fucking injuries. Is there anybody who isn't hurt on this team right now? You talk about a team that is in desperate need of a bye week. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you your Green Bay Packers. Banky, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. Doing good in the neighborhood. Startup week, Wisconsin, has been underway all week.
Yeah,
sorry, right. I missed everybody last night. I was at Titletown Tech with the bunch of Green Bay. Believe it or not,
movers
I know a
shakers.
Lot of people might... No. Startup founders, so not necessarily movers and shakers. So people starting their business, right. and founders of businesses, some bigger, some not. But, you know, I know people don't believe me when I talk about how great Green Bay is, but you would be surprised how many small tech companies are here. It's not Silicon Valley. It's not Atlanta. It's not, you know, Austin. But there's companies here, and there's people that are really trying to make some really cool stuff happen. So a very exciting place. And Titletown Tech, pretty awesome to go there. If you get a chance to go to Titletown Tech and Titletown over there, always highly recommended when you're here in Green Bay.
Is that your first time at Titletown proper, or have you been there before? I can't remember.
Titletown Tech.
Yeah.
I'd got a tour of Titletown Tech, but I'd never been to the rooftop bar or the.
Oh.
There's a rooftop bar at the top.
The rooftop bar,
and there.
Very nice.
It's not like a bar, like you can go there like a restaurant,
right.
You know, like, but there's a full bar up there. And then there's like a really cool rooftop outdoor place that I, you know, cause it's kind of cold here right now. So I went out there, I checked it out. I got cold.
And
walked
you went back
in, you know,
very good
as you do.
Oh my goodness. Well, we got to get to, your favorite part of the program there, Banky. It's time for the hotness.
Ooh, the hotness.
You ready for the hotness?
Let's do it.
Let's do the hotness.
I'm ready.
Let's go. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's time to get going with the hotness, Banky. Now, look, there are lots of ways we could have gone this week. Defense played out of its mind. Lots of great defensive plays. A lot of great plays on offense, at least later in the game. We get to the fourth quarter. But to me, there's only one play you can really utilize this week for the hotness. Let's take a look at this phenomenal catch and run by friend of show, Mr. A.J. Dillon. Look at this catch here out of the backfield. And then one. Two, three, and almost four guys. And then watch Devontae Adams comes in at the end and tell him about it. Oh, yeah. That, ladies and gentlemen,
nice.
Is the hotness. Come
oh,
on.
Yeah.
How about AJ? I mean, obviously it sucks that Aaron Jones is going to be out for a few weeks, but the fact that they've got AJ Dillon to pick up the load, that, my friends, is the hotness. Love it.
Mm.
All right, Banky. Now, here, you know what I love about this? What I love about the fact that we've added the hotness at the beginning of the program?
Yes.
Because you were
What's
always
that?
So dour and upset about the fact that we went right into the news. So now we do the hotness, and you never say anything about it.
I enjoy watching it.
Feels like you're dragging a little bit, Banky. We got to pump you up, baby. We got to pump you up.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Oh, we're not going to be pumping you up with the news, though. Let's get to it. Let's eat our vegetables. Packers news this week. Obviously, a lot going on. Number one, numero uno, Aaron Rodgers misses practice. Not just yesterday, but also today, Thursday. He has said, point blank, though, when we talked to him yesterday, he is playing on Sunday. He made that pretty crystal clear. So, I mean, it's been a while. It's been like a month, as Rob pointed out. I think it was yesterday. The team didn't practice heading into Arizona. They had some walkthroughs. And then there was the whole COVID situation. And now this week he is continuing to be out due to the toe. So it's been a long time since Aaron Rodgers practiced with the team.
Can someone explain to the – so he basically has COVID toe, right?
Well, no, he has not confirmed that, but that is – I know a lot of people have put that together and said
but I'm not even like joking, right?
No,
that's like
I
a
know.
Thing.
It's
right?
a very real thing.
That's actually a symptom of COVID.
It can be.
That's
yes.
crazy.
I mean,
I saw that and I thought it was a joke when I first saw it. And right. then I was like, whoa, this is insane. This is actually a thing. And, you know.
But now again, he has not confirmed that. I know I asked about the toe after the game.
But didn't he confirm it on Pat McAfee's show and then make a joke about it, though?
I didn't see that as confirmation, but maybe, possibly, maybe I just misread it wrong. I thought.
Well,
I
think people missed it as confirmation because he had the jokey thing he said after
right.
it. Right. It was
right.
like he said I got COVID, and so I don't know. I saw this thing, and I was like, somebody else. I think it was on TikTok, and somebody's like, "Does Aaron Rodgers have COVID too?" And of course, it's on TikTok, so I'm like, "Okay, this is not a thing." And then I started reading about it, and I was
Aaron Rodgers information.
Actually. That's a thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
No, I knew. And that's kind of why I asked after the game to see how he was doing. Because, I mean, the toe literally popped up on the injury report on Saturday. So when he was back in the building for the first time. So, yes, Rodgers missing practice. But, like we say, says he's not missing the game. So we'll see how things play out Sunday in Minnesota. Packers got a lot of moves to make because of all those injuries we were talking about. They elevate Tipa Galilei, the name I'm never going to be able to pronounce correctly, to the active roster.
Totally butchered that.
To the active roster. I just call him Tipa because he's awesome. He can rush the passer. I can tell you that. I know Mike Smith had talked about it this summer, how the kid needs to gain about 10 pounds before he's ready to play full time, but they're going to need him now that our next bit of news, Whitney Mercilus, placed on injured reserve, really sucks timing-wise. Guy was really kind of finding his groove in the Packers defense as a sub rusher, probably would have had a sack on the play where he got injured if he hadn't gotten injured. So that really sucks. Torn bicep for Whitney Mercilus. And finally, in our news section here, we have the Packers stock sale. That's right. They topped $36 million and 110,000 shares sold in their first 2 days. First 2 days, baby.
Nice.
Green Bay Packers.
Nice.
Printing money.
You think they're gonna do the full 90? I mean, they have in their history, so you got to imagine that they picked the number that they
knowing
knew they
that
could
yeah,
hit, right?
I would think so. I mean, last time around, they extended the sale because of the demand. So we'll see.
Right, because of demand, right?
Yeah. And I think they've kind of baked that in this time. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It goes on for the next month or so. Let's talk about the Packers offense, shall we? The offense that's. Having some issues, some problems, some consternation here. I know a lot of people have talked about everything going on with the offense, whether it's the offensive line, waiting for David Bakhtiari, who is still apparently nowhere near returning. Clearly, you have Aaron Rodgers and the timing issue. But this stat here, to me, is not the most important, but it's telling. Aaron Rodgers is 23rd. Out of, like, you know, all of the guys in the league in red zone passer rating. Last year, he was lights out in the red zone. This team was lights out in the red zone. They move the ball. They can, you know, make, you know, between the 20s, they make it happen. They'll any which way. But when they get into the red zone, it is both, to my eyes, a lack of creativity to get guys open, especially Davante Adams. But also, Aaron Rodgers just not dialing it up the way he did last year. And now that may be because the creativity is not there as much to get guys open. Last year, he had, by his own admission, had a lot of times where you know, all I had to do is make sure that the wide open guy got the football. And those wide open guys don't seem to be on offer as much this year. So to me, this is like the whole kit and caboodle for the offense. They can move the ball. It's just when they get into the red zone is where things are really breaking down. And I, you know, obviously wish there was some kind of magic bullet to point to, but I don't really think there is. I think it's a combination of a lot of different things.
I mean, I'm surprised you pulled that stat out of there, Nagler. I don't know if I would have been able to even find that stat, but it is it is kind of telling. I wonder if, you know, the offensive line moving around as well as they've done,
right.
I don't think that they've done a good enough job to get him really comfortable. And they haven't really pivoted from their game plan in order to do that, right? You saw that with Jordan Love getting blitzed to crap and him right. not being able to pull out of it, right? And some of that's on him. And, you know, we bang our heads against the wall here in Packers Twitter, and we're not the only ones, about running the football.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not as easy as that. To your point, it's a mix of things for this offense.
A lot of things.
But this is certainly not the Packers offense that we expected coming into the season.
At all.
Certainly not the Packers defense either, which is a huge
it's the weirdest thing.
Reason we're 8-2.
Absolutely.
But it's definitely not the offense we were looking for.
Well, and then to kind of dovetail off of the idea that they were so good in the red zone last year, and this year really struggling. There's another area on offense that kind of mirrors that, and that's the first quarter. Remember last year, mm-hmm. I think all but two games they drove the field and scored a touchdown, or at least a field mm-hmm. goal, in all but two mm-hmm. regular season games. This year, I think they've scored something like 24 points in the first quarter the entirety of the year so far. That's insane. Whoa. Like, they are just absolutely killing themselves in the first quarter. They are starting so slow. They have got to come out of the gate. And I obviously would love that to happen in Minnesota, but you talk about a place that's really tough early in games when it's obviously close. It's just starting. The crowd's going to be into it. They got that fucking horn going. It's so annoying.
Ugh,
like, that is a really tough environment to get your offense going in, but they have to find a way. They got to do something to start faster, because so many times, again, it happened against the Seahawks. They get a drive going, and then there's a holding penalty, and then they're behind the sticks, and then they're trying to try these like long developing routes that, for whatever reason, whether it's protection or Rodgers missing guys or drops like Alan Lazard had on the deep over route, they're just killing themselves and getting behind the sticks. They have to find a way to be more consistent early in games. And again, like the red zone issue, it's a mix. There's no one silver bullet that you can point to and go, it's that. It's everybody. And here's the other thing. You talk about these things, and yes, we've got to get on the same page, and yes, we've got to fix it. It's hard to do that when your quarterback isn't practicing.
Yeah.
And I know Aaron Rodgers is God. I know he's a three-time MVP. He's amazing.
He is.
But he's got to practice to get
better
in these areas.
There's something, too, you know, I know everybody's sick of me harping on this because,
no one's sick of
you know,
anything.
We should have kept Corey Linsley,
right.
But there is a lack of chemistry between him and his center this season. For whatever reason, we've seen it with two major botch snaps this season that have directly resulted in the offense not being able to you know, being in second and 18 situations,
right.
and really long drive situations, which they're never going to be able to get out of, right? They're pretty much like, okay, that drive is over. And, you know, you wonder where the chemistry is between him and his offensive line. Is that what's missing this season?
It's interesting, and
specifically him and his center,
well,
right? Because that's a very important relationship.
And don't forget, he's on center number, you know, he's on a backup center, you know?
Yep.
Myers
yep.
has been out for a good long while now. So I do think there's something to that. I do think the offensive line, obviously, it's not what they had planned when they put the team together this offseason. But you got to make do with what you got. And I do think, for the most part, they've held up pretty well. There's always some really apparent brain fart from Newman at least once or twice a game. It seems Lucas Patrick struggles along the interior on some of the run calls at times. But for the most part, I think they do a really decent job considering how many kind of moving parts there have been. But, yeah, I agree. I think And again, it's just but part you
gotta,
of the mix.
But that's that. That's but that's the thing. You got to imagine that that offensive line's lack of cohesion, because you look at last year's offensive line and what they were able to do. You look at this season. You know, everything kind of begins and starts with the offensive line for the Packers, and how good their offense is, and how good they have chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. And this year, you know. You know, it's almost like maybe that's why they don't run it as much as they want to, right? Maybe there's something to, like, why LaFleur is using the offensive game plan he is in weeks where we get so frustrated because they can't run the ball. There might be some weaknesses there that they don't want to show to other teams that currently exist with their offensive line.
Did you see, I don't know, what was it? I think it was Monday, or maybe it was after the game. What, I can't remember which one it was, but I asked Matt about something with the offense, and he offered up, unprompted, the fact that they had 6 run alerts where they're, you know, had a run call on, but Aaron threw the ball. You know, so that's, you know, it's a little thing, and, you know, I have no idea as far as which ones were successful, which ones weren't, where what was the look, etc. But it's hard to establish a running game when you've got run calls on and the quarterback is checking out or taking the pass. And I'm not firing at Rodgers here. I'm not like this is he's seeing more about, you know, across the line of scrimmage. He knows more. He's like the fucking Matrix looking at things. The green dots are all coming down and he can see it and blah, blah, blah. I have zero question that he's taking advantage of what the defense has on offer. But that is telling. If you like look at a game where like Arizona, I think a lot of the times those run alerts were actually run. Because they ran the ball so much more in that game. We got a flashing light in here. It's crazy. It's driving me. I can feel I'm in a disco. but they ran the ball a lot more in that game. And then you get to the Seattle game. And, you know, like to LaFleur, like I'm not making this up. LaFleur said it. There were 6 plays that were run calls that they threw on. So, you know, it's hard to get much of a cohesion going run play-wise.
Wait, so bear with me here, Nagler. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole,
baby.
Okay?
Do it.
So I used to think Aaron Rodgers was, like, one of the smartest people, right? And I do put the emphasis on used to, and I'm not going to go into why, but I have changed my mind on that.
I got you.
So think about this for a second, right? We talked about this last year. We talked about it this year, self-scouting, right? Our ability to self-scout,
right?
Okay? If you want Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball and you do not want the Packers to run the ball, what are you going to show Aaron Rodgers so he audibles out of it?
That's good. That's good.
Like, is Aaron Rodgers really self-scouting himself? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he is the Matrix. Well, if you're really in the Matrix, are you playing checkers? Are you playing chess, right? And in checkers, you're going to be like, oh, well, I see 2 deep safeties. I see this thing. Okay, I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass. Which is going to take coach out of his game, right?
Or at least a rhythm, yeah. The rhythm of the play calling. That's the thing. Like, the best play callers, and I've said it many, many times, Mike Holmgren was the best play caller I've ever seen, like ever, as far as feeling the game, knowing when to hit a particular screen, or draw play, what have you.
No, yeah, 100%.
Play calling has a rhythm. I want to ask Matt about that, actually, because, you know, we've talked to Matt before about how he makes the play call, and literally while Aaron's at the line of scrimmage moving things around and making adjustments, coach is looking for the next play, like legit while the play clock's going down. Yeah, I do wonder about that. Like, so if you've got these calls and you're like, okay, I'm going to try to, quote unquote, establish the run, but things keep changing at the line of scrimmage, well, it's hard as a play caller to get into a groove. That makes sense.
Especially if the defense is showing you looks that they know are going to get you to pass, right? Even
the drop that safety down or what have you, yeah. Show you
if you're scared of the Packers running game, if you're not scared, but if you're more worried about the Packers running game, are you not going to try to show QB1 things that are going to make him think he's got you?
Right?
He's got man somewhere.
You're going to try.
You're going to try. And of course, like, he's smarter than that. Okay. Right. I'm not trying to hate on QB1.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, you know.
No, that's the game within the game, right? And that's what's so cool about it. Last thing on the offense I did want to touch on before we move on to the defense is, it's Patrick Taylor time, baby. This kid looked really good in his little kind of debut there in a really tough situation. And don't dismiss it, because it was tough. Seattle knew they were running the clock, knew they were going to run the football. He had to come in there basically cold off the bench and take like a couple carries against a defense that was gangbusters to try and stop the run. And he did a really good job. I thought he he did great on one particular run. You know, they had the zone on, and he hit the classic zone running of put his foot in the ground, aiming point, and get upfield. And he was great, and he got a decent gain. And I'm telling you, man, this kid's got a little talent. It's gonna be interesting to see how much they actually utilize him in Minnesota. You have to think, does he have the checks down? I know Matt talks about his study habits and how incredible he is in that regard. So hopefully nothing's too big there. The pass pro is always the number one thing you want to look for in a young back. Let's hope he holds up. You don't want – the worst thing you could have is like, okay, every time Patrick comes in, you know it's a run play. You got to be able to, you got to be able to hold up in the passing game. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he can do. I don't think he's going to get a ton of work, but I think – you can't just run AJ every single play, obviously. They'll have some kind of
why not
stable going on.
I mean, I would like to see us try that as a baseline.
I would too. I think
honestly,
at some
though.
Point he's going to ask for a breather. But he did that on Sunday. You can see him tap out after a run.
Okay. Is David Bakhtiari ever going to play again? Ever?
Yes.
Is it ever happening?
Yes, he is. Yes.
When?
Probably after the bye week would be my guess.
We need you, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I don't think that's the line, but he'll be back.
We need you.
Remember, he suffered an ACL.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Injury.
We can't all quote every Star Wars movie from the beginning to the end, Nagler.
I can't.
Lord.
I can only do the first two, but, you know.
Oh.
That's neither here nor there.
Oh, Lord.
Banky, just remember, Bakhtiari got hurt on New Year's Eve day. Like, that. It's not even been like 10, it's been basically 10 months since he tore his ACL.
I know. I'm speaking for the fans.
I know,
here.
It's frustrating because
I want it to happen.
He was on PUP, and then they had to start practicing him because if they didn't, he
so
was going to go on IR.
So you get excited because you're like, David Bakhtiari's
like, oh,
practicing. You're like,
and then they had 21 days of practice, and then they had to put him on the 53-man roster, or he would have gone on IR for the rest of the year. So clearly the fact that they put him on the 53-man roster tells you that they at least plan on him playing at some point. And I suspect it's after the bye week. So we'll see. It's a couple weeks away. Got two more games. Got the bye week. And then hopefully we see some Bakhtiari. I tell you, Coach, you can tell Matt is done with Bakhtiari watch. There's always a ton, like whether it was the audibles back in the day, some other things. There's always a point where Matt is sick of the line of questioning. And that line on Bakhtiari was today. He is done. He is like, it's day to day. Stop asking me about it. Which I can't blame him. I understand.
I also, you know, before we get on the defense, I'm going to say, like, I was going to, like, respond to every tweet because A.J. Dillon had his press conference today.
Oh, boy.
And, like, it was funny because I was going to respond to all the reporters. I'm like, guys, don't you even, like, even Wes Hodd. Like, Wes Hodd has been on Carry the G, and he was reporting things that A.J. Dillon said that he literally said on Carry the G. So, you know.
You want people to pay their respects to Carry the G?
No, it's just like, oh, you're so cute that you're telling us things that if we watch Carry the G, we would know by now. And everyone in the world, every Packer fan knows.
Right.
It's like if a reporter's job is to tell the world shit they already know, like, duh. That's
it.
All.
I love it. All right. Let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about the fact that this defense has pitched six straight quarters of scoreless football. This is Green Bay, Wisconsin, Banky.
Are you talking about the Packers right now?
The Green Bay Packers defense. Six straight quarters of scoreless football.
It's incredible. And a shutout at Lambeau is a beautiful thing.
Very
I don't
special.
Think it's appreciated. I don't
very
think it's really
special.
Appreciated as much as it should be because it's a very special thing. It's very, very – doesn't matter who you're playing. If it's an NFL team, you know, if it's Wisconsin, who cares? But if it's an NFL team, okay.
There
you
it
know.
Is. It's so special and so different. It's like it does – you do have problems, I find. I won't speak for you, but I have – problems connecting my emotions to the fact that it's the Packers. Like, the Packers defense is playing this well and they don't even have their two best players? What? Like, it is kind of mind-boggling. Like, I kind of find myself not believing it. Even though I know it's true, I don't believe it because it's the Green Bay Packers and we're talking about the defense.
Yeah.
The defense. Six straight quarters of scoreless football.
It's incredible.
One of those components of that defense, injuries have struck at times. Guys got to step up. Young players have to develop. One said young player developing right before our eyes is TJ Slayton. Throw it down, big man. Throw it down. Let's take a look at this play from TJ in Sunday's game. Look at this gentleman here. Just toss aside a guard like it's nothing. Throw
it's
it
funny
down,
how he like whips
man.
Around. Throw it's funny how it the guard down. Like whips around. Dude, and I always say this every time we see TJ, he had a great camp. He probably had the best camp of any young defensive player.
Camp, no doubt.
Very productive camp, had a lot of green shoots, as they say, and it's showing throughout the season, and it's incredible. It's great.
I love it.
It's great to see.
I absolutely love it. Another guy who's stepping up and was thrust into a lot more action than we've seen previous in that dime safety role on Sunday is Henry Black. Don't forget about Henry Black. This kid, we've heard a lot about Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage for good reason. They've played very well. Well, shout out to Maggie Loney, who threw that out on Twitter a couple days ago. Henry Black has played like solid football all year. And this Sunday, by far, I mean, he played a little bit more early in the year when Savage got injured. But they played a lot of dime, looks on Sunday. And he was a big part of it. And he held up really, really well. Plus, he had to deal with DK Metcalf having a meltdown on his face. So, man, shout out to Henry Black. Really acquitting himself admirably
in
that game.
I think we might hear from DK Metcalf in the Super Chat portion of this show.
Oh, exciting. Good to hear.
Yeah, I think he's on our he's you know, he's not
himself?
Done with the Packers.
What's up, DK?
Yeah, I guess.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
Good to see you.
He's here, so.
All right, awesome.
He's not coming on the show cuz we don't allow losers on the show, but
All right, let's take a quick look at the Minnesota Vikings, the Packers' opponent on Sunday. I would expect a similar game plan from what we saw last year in Lambeau from the Vikings. And I know they're coming off a big win against the Chargers where Cousins threw it all over the yard and the receivers got involved. I don't think it's going to be that type of game. I know that's being talked about in a lot of the Vikings kind of press and media and the fans. I think this is a game where they button it up and they don't want to try throwing it all over the Packers' defense. They're going to want to run the ball. They're going to want to control the clock, keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, exactly as they did last year in Lambeau Field. Don't forget, Mike Zimmer is the only NFC North coach with a victory over Matt LaFleur. The only one, and that is exactly how he did it. Took the air right out of the ballgame. So I would expect a very similar type of approach from Minnesota.
The Vikings are trash. Can we just please say that?
You sure may. I'm just telling
Nagler.
You, it's going to be a tough game,
Nagler.
Man. It's going to be a tough
All
game.
All of the NFC North teams together do not have as many wins as the Green Bay Packers.
I
let's
understand
just,
that.
Let's just say that for one
That's
second,
true.
Okay?
That's true. That's very true. The Vikings are tough, though, man. I'm telling you. They're
really?
A tough team. They've been in every game
like
right
the hardest...
down to the wire. They've had some bad bounces. Ugh. They had some bad luck. They've also kind of shot themselves in the foot at times. But they've been in every single game.
You can kind of when Kirk Cousins plays us though, you kind of expect him to play bad, I feel like.
For the most part, he's going to give you at least one or two. Like you got to hold on to them, but he's going to give you one or two. And that's why last year Zimmer was like cuz the first remember the first game opener last year in Minnesota, Jair had the huge interception the first half like blah 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 like and they were trying to throw it all over the place. Jair sacked him for the safety, blah blah blah. You fast forward to the Lambeau game, they basically took the ball out of Kirk Cousins' hands. Like they were like, we are going to run the ball. We are barely going to throw it. But I will say about Kirk Cousins, he has the best interception rate in the league currently. And he is the sixth-ranked passer in the NFL currently with 104
I don't believe you. You pulled the wrong stat.
I'm telling you. I'm just saying.
I don't believe you.
I'm not saying.
Also,
just saying.
You know who's better? You know who's better at run defense this year than they were last year?
The Green Bay Packers.
True story. Also, you know what? Who else is better? I feel like who's going to get a pick? Who deserves a pick? Who has just dropped a couple really close picks, man? And he totally is going to get one. Is one Kevin King?
There
I feel
go.
Like that's going to happen.
Get,
so
get another one. Like back in 2019, we had a big one on. I think it was the week of Christmas where he had a great interception. I'm all for that. But speaking of secondary play, the last note on the Vikings, they get back Harrison Smith and Patrick Peterson. Harrison Smith has been dealing with COVID. Patrick Peterson, I believe they brought off IR, so That is a big boost to their secondary, which brings me back to my point. Run the fucking ball. I mean, I'm just not saying. I'm just saying. Run the ball.
You know what's going to be funny is when we do watch parties and you're like sick of us running the ball. So then you talk about how we shouldn't run the ball and we should pass the ball.
Never
gonna
happen.
I'm going to be so annoyed.
Never going to happen.
Like, so never gonna the other happen. Thing that's a little annoying before we get to blogosphere is the New York Times should not write articles about the Green Bay Packers. Okay.
Oh no.
Mike Tannier. What a piece of garbage. He can't even, he doesn't even know the name of a starting cornerback. He called him Kenny King. Like, what an idiot. Like, do they even have editors and spell check over there? Last time I checked, they were the premier news organization in the country, in the world, perceivably. They make so much money on digital subscriptions, and they can't even get their shit right. Like, don't even write about football. You don't really care about it, New York Times, so why are you writing about it? If it's not the Jets or the Giants, just don't even write about it. Nobody cares. Like, so annoying.
You got that out of your system now? Actually, no, Mike's one of my favorite writers, and he's a friend, so good times. I'm ready for
garbage,
blogosphere.
Garbage. Garbage. Don't write about the Packers, Mike Tannier, because you are garbage.
All right, let's go.
You can clip that and send it to him.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Behnke.
We don't get any audio.
Corey Behnke, let me tell you something. So, you know, no. you look around the Packer blogosphere, as it were, and, you know, there's people doing all sorts of great work, breaking down the football stuff, talking about, you know, the offense, defense, whatever. Then the stock sale happens and all hell breaks loose outside of the Packers sphere, right? Like, everybody's got a fucking opinion about shit they don't know about. And I'm a simple man, right? I just tell them to shut the fuck up and I hit block on Twitter because that's how I operate. But thankfully, there are people out there doing yeoman's work when it comes to defending the idea of why it's important, why Packers fans find it important, and why the team finds it important to have these stock sales. And our good buddy, Paul Noonan, of course, I call him a good buddy, and I think he called us like Neanderthals or something this summer. But Paul did a great job over at Acme Packing Company laying out exactly why the stock sale is important. And what it means, not only for fans, but for the team. And he was asked on Outside the Lines, and I thought he absolutely nailed it. Let's roll this here.
But I think the bigger thing that people miss out on is that the actual corporate structure of the Packers that allows this kind of stock sale to happen is really meant to keep the team in Green Bay, to make fundraising easy, and to ensure that there is a good football team for all of these people participating in the stock sale to watch for the foreseeable future. The stock is very restrictive in how many people, the concentration of ownership that can happen with it. And that plays a big role in a small city like Green Bay being able to have a football team and no threat of it moving away. So you get a lot out of it from a fan's perspective. And it is not just a fan club, as people say. There are real practical benefits to having the stock organized as it is for the Packers.
Right. It's the smallest market in the NFL, and yet it is the city that is least likely to lose its team as a result of the team threatening to leave to try to get more public money. Now, a sports business personality recently called it the biggest racket in sports in reference to the Packers trying to sell these shares to fans. Now, you obviously took issue with that. Why do you think there is a little bit of, you know, let's call it cynicism when it comes to the Packers trying to turn to their fans for funding?
Sure. So I do think there is sort of a subculture of media, of just people who really pay attention to things like the profits that teams generate, the TV ratings that they have, really the business aspect, when for most people, that really doesn't matter if the team is competitive, if it has good players. That is really what matters, but there are people who do care about those things and, you know, whatever, more power to them for that. But there are other ways to organize companies. Not everything has to be organized in such a way as to drive shareholder value. People make corporations every day for other purposes. There's nonprofits. There are things like hunting and golf clubs that just exist so people can have a good time. And the Packer ownership structure has never been about generating dividends or shareholder value. It's set up in a very creative way in order to keep the team where it is and to kind of decentralize power. It's very unique in that way. And I think judging it against something like Apple or Tesla doesn't really make a lot of sense when that was never the goal of the team in the first place.
I mean, nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. So well stated. It covers, I think, every important aspect of it. And like I said, I just tell people to piss off because they don't know what they're talking about. But Paul actually takes the time to explain things, which I appreciate.
It's incredible to me in this day and age that we spend so much time caring about what a guy who tweets about the latest pretzel at U.S. Bank Stadium, right, or U.S. Venture Fund or whatever the crappy name they came up with and paid crypto.com or whatever. We got NFTs. We got coins. I'm not talking shit about them. But this day of stock buybacks where a company can buy back $121 billion of its shares and have $120 billion market value, which makes no sense. And we buy back all these shares and we have CEOs that are making thousands of times more money than the actual employees that work for the company and make the company make money. And we're worried about $300 of a piece of paper? You crazy. I spent $300 on the dumbest shit you've ever seen in your whole entire life. We've all done it.
I can confirm that.
I can confirm that report. Packer stock is one of the best things I ever bought. It makes me feel like I'm part of a community. It makes me feel like I'm supporting a thing that gives me value. It's emotion. It's camaraderie. It's things that are intangible. No one is buying Packers stock because they think they're going to make money. It's not like the Packers are like, yeah, buy this stock and you're never going to get anything out of it. But I'm not going to tell you that. You know, there's no disingenuousness. Right. There's no penny stock thing, right?
Right?
It's very clear. It's an upfront thing. And I just think it's funny how we live in this world where it's like we have created this corporate structure where everything is about quarterly earnings and dividends and shareholders.
Yep.
When we forget that companies are made to make good products that then make a profit that help people, you know, and even if they don't help people, they have a value to the people buying them. They're not just this passive income or all this bullshit that's going on today. And it's really funny how like this thing that has been around for a very long time gets people who are rich and people who are in the mainstream. It gets them in a tizzy. It's like, go away. Yeah. You're annoying.
No, that's what I mean. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're completely out of your depth. And that's why I really appreciated Paul's piece. I thought he did an excellent job of explaining how, yeah, not everything is cookie cutter. And the Packers are a very unique organization that exists in a very unique space. And I understand lots of people don't understand it and don't want to understand it. They just want to poo-poo it and like tell people it's a scam or whatever, but it's the furthest thing from that. On the flip side, however, this came out earlier this afternoon. I was legit like laughing so hard I almost cried. So the Vikings, we all know the Minnesota Vikings, built their stadium, they had all the shiny glass. It looks so nice in the sun, and oh yeah, it kills like 100 birds a year. It's a bird killer. It's literally killing birds. And when they did a study prior to the construction of this place, they had this, I believe it was the University of Oklahoma study that like looked at like ways to make sure that this didn't happen. They completely ignored it. And so now this week they were going to start using something called bird buffer. But literally today it was reported that they're not going to be able to utilize bird buffer. And this is the quote: the science and effectiveness behind bird buffer is unproven and potentially dangerous to humans and animals. Like, the Vikings can't do anything right. They can't do anything right. You talk about remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about the stadium group that I can't remember who it was in the Wisconsin legislature.
The commission, the district.
The district commission.
Yeah.
Is literally so we have people on board watching, like, make sure that everything's cool with Lambeau and how can we improve it? What things can we do? And by the way, this stock sale will literally go to helping improve Lambeau Field, etc., in a responsible way. The Vikings, meanwhile, we're told, don't build a stadium this way. You're going to be killing a bunch of birds. And they were like, no, we don't like how it looks. We're going to build it our way. And they've gone about killing birds to the point now where they were going to use some fucking junk science called bird buffer to try and get them out of it. It's just hilarious to me.
You want to go one more level is they had to build a new stadium because their old one collapsed because they didn't think that they would get a lot of snow in Minnesota.
It's so true.
I mean, that's like the irony of life.
Oh,
like, let's build a stadium in Minneapolis. What do we need? It needs to
Should
be
we
able
make
to sustain
sure the
rain.
Building won't collapse
and hail.
When it snows?
Yeah.
No.
It's not going to get a lot of snow,
no,
you guys.
No
it's not
going to
get a lot of snow. It'll be cool. It'll be cool.
I love it so much. The Vikings are such trash. They're such a plastic franchise. There's nothing. There's no goodness out of that organization. Although I will say, they do have one saving grace. They are one of the first, and they may be actually the first stadium that has an area for people with autism and on the spectrum. And for that, I will always give them props. That is the one area that I will give them.
Even SoFi doesn't have that. SoFi doesn't have that.
I think they might, but the Vikings were the first. They were literally the first team
Got
to
it.
Do it. They will always have my admiration for that. Should we talk to some fine folks in the old YouTube comments and the Facebook comments?
Yeah, let's see if Tucker can get his shit together and make this happen, because it's been a tough road this show for Tucker. So you know, we gotta see if it can happen.
Well, there we go.
First one, we got Brian from Facebook. Go Pack Go! Thanks, dudes.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate you on Facebook. I like. Then we got a guy. His name is Tom Grossi. One Tom Grossi watching from Corey's basement.
Ah, very nice.
That's a little scary.
Grossi is infiltrated.
I'm kind of scared to go down the stairs right now.
Hey, Grossi
and I.
I gotta give him a shout out. You got the PS5. Well done, buddy. Now you have more excuses not to play me in Madden.
You know, Grossi and I, we I love that Grossi is like into Packer collectible. So him and I are like, we're Packer collectible nerds together.
Oh,
it's so
boy.
Awesome. It's really great. It's fun. There's a lot of really good. There's a lot of really good stuff for sale, but I'm not going to tell you where it is because I don't want anybody bidding against me.
Exactly.
Matt Ritter, longtime listener, first time watching live from Brookline, Massachusetts.
What's up, Matt?
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for checking it out.
That's awesome. I got to look back at this. I missed a thing from Uncultured. We got Aaron Chef 82. Thanks for the super chat. Big fans for years, deep in the heart of Texas. We love and appreciate all the hard work, content, and all things Packers. Go Pack Go.
Thank you so much.
Go Pack Go, Aaron. Thanks for that. And then a 1DK Metcalf, who got ejected from the game last weekend. Packers did a good job defending me, but next time it ain't happening. LOL emojis, which I don't understand. Is that like it ain't happening, but like psych? You know, I really appreciate someone, you know, creating the DK Metcalf YouTube account. So I had to give them props for that.
Mad props.
Justin, thanks for super chat. How much credit, if any, does MLF deserve for the defensive turnaround this year? Go Pack Go.
I think a big amount, because we all know that. The kind of the meltdown, so to speak, in the NFC Championship game was kind of feels like the breaking point for him and Mike Pettine. And after he made the hire of Joe Barry, he made it very clear that this was his vision. This is what he wanted as far as the scheme and how he wanted it implemented. Joe obviously gets credit for the work. There's zero doubt about that. But I said all offseason on Packers Daily, this is a big move for Matt, because now the buck absolutely stops with him. Before, there was a bit of a Chinese wall where he could say, you know, with defense, Mike's the guy. He's been steeped in defensive football his whole life. Like, I defer to him. He could always say that. Now he can't, because this is his guy that he hired, and you all know was not a very popular hire. And I asked Matt about that after the game. But, yeah, I think Matt gets a bunch of the credit. He went with this guy who had failed twice before, but he knew the kind of coach he was, and he saw the vision for how this could play out. And so far, the returns have been pretty good.
We got Todd from Facebook. I miss Zadarius. Me too, Todd.
Oh,
I like that because I miss him too. But,
I hear you, buddy.
We got Jacob, Super Chat. Thanks to Super Chat. Shout out to my neighbor, Gundy, who's a huge Packers fan. What's up, Gundy? Carrying the G in Fargo, North Dakota, pack by a million.
There you go, baby.
What's up, Gundy? Overshadow Sean, thanks for Super Chat. $5 of Cheesehead TV fake stock, please. So we gotta come out with some stock, Nagler.
There we go. I love it. Some non-fungible tokens for Cheesehead TV.
Non-fungible stock.
Oh, okay.
Uncultured Barbarian, thanks for Super Chat. People who complain about people like me who bought Packer stock are also the same people who gave their money to Madoff or other scammers, or they go to a bird-killing stadium. Pappies.
Pappies.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Uncultured.
Uncultured. Then we got AZ Atheist. Need to make up some bird buffer shirts for the game Sunday.
Perfect. We'll get right on that.
And then you got from Facebook, Todd Rung, no tailgating in Minnesota. They don't have a parking lot.
Well, there are places you can go, though. Like there's train tracks right by there, and you got to go across. You literally have to go across the tracks. But there are places you can do it. Mm.
Too old for this. Thanks to Super Chat. The architect of U.S. Bank Stadium must really have been freaked out by the Hitchcock classic, The Birds.
Wonderful.
We got Raj Singh. Thanks for Super Chat. Why can't Canadians buy Packers stock? Now, here's the thing. Is this true, Nagler? I saw this on Twitter. I don't know if it's true. There was some Canadians that were allowed in one of the stock sales to buy some Packers
The last stock sale they could. And Murphy said, he was quoted as saying yesterday that they're hoping to get regulatory approval from the Canadian government within the week, hopefully. So there's still a chance that this could happen for Canadians. Unfortunately, that's where it stops. There will be no sale internationally past Canada, which is unfortunate.
But the
Canadians,
issue
that, you still have a, the issue that could still happen. That probably will happen.
And does that have something to do with the fact that the SEC has to bless the sale?
I think so. I mean, I'd be lying if I told you I knew
like the
ins
why.
And outs.
Yeah, like the why is unknown, right? Yeah. It's the fact is you can't, but then Canadians were
we
able to.
We should ask our
Canadians
friend Marissa.
May be
she
able
would,
to.
She would know.
Yeah, I want to say that it has to have something to. That has something to do with the SEC because I know the Packers had to get SEC certification approval in order to do this.
But Raj,
Jamie Cheesebutt, what's
Raj,
up, Jamie?
Real quick, Raj, don't lose hope. You should be getting an all clear.
Yeah, you might be able to
in about a week or so, hopefully.
Actually, I skipped the Tucker's going to yell at me. I skipped the super chat. Johnny Rivers.
Tucker's in our ear going,
Johnny
yeah,
Rivers.
You did.
Yeah. I'm on this, Banky. Johnny Rivers. Some people are lauding DK for coming out as anti-mask. Not me. Easy to be cavalier about COVID when you know pack DBs won't let you catch anything. Burn.
Johnny's here all week.
Burn.
Tip your waitress.
Johnny, thanks for Super Chat. Jamie Cheesebutt. Packers, the crypto of the NFL.
There
true story.
You go. What's up, Jamie?
Are.
How are you?
They're the OG crypto. They were so crypto. They were crypto before crypto. Oh my goodness, is that true?
What's that?
Is the area code for Minneapolis 044?
I have no idea. Why would I know?
I don't know. Matt Mamba. And if you haven't watched Matt Mamba, his videos on the Cheesehead TV, unstable Packer fan, really hilarious. Matt Mamba gifting AJ Dillon the key to my house later this week. Matt, I don't think.
Well, he's got the key to Door County, so now he may as well have the key to your house. He's already got the key to my heart.
I like Matt, but I don't think that's really something that he wants, but you know. I'm sure he'll appreciate it. Nathan Gray, longtime listener, never live from Hong Kong.
What's
gutted
up?
I can't buy stock, but go Pack, go.
Nathan, thanks so much for tuning in, man. And yeah, I hear you. I've heard from so many people across the pond, around the world. They can't do it, unfortunately. I'm so sorry, man.
And then last but not least, Sean Nelson, thanks for Super Chat. I usually say screw it and tailgate in the parking garage, frowned upon, maybe. Give me more tailgate space. It'd be the Minnesota nice thing to do.
That's fine, man. Wherever the car can sit and you can open the trunk and get some, stuff going. You get your grill going. You get the music blasting. Wherever you need to, man. It's fine. But I know, you got to do what you got to do when tailgate time. Goodness knows.
And then I got a shout out to the peeps on Facebook. Really appreciate everybody watching on Facebook. Mark Miles, go Pack Go, best defense in over 11 years.
It's crazy.
Couldn't agree with you more. I actually think this defense could be better than that defense when it's all said and done.
It's
so a lot of ball game left, but yeah, it's an exciting time to be a defensive fan.
Yeah, right. Offense, we'll get there. We'll get a lot of ball game left. How about Coach almost saying a lot of ball game yesterday? A lot of ball game left.
I saw that. I saw what Tyler did. I'm really glad Tyler's back. I want to give a shout out to Tyler Herrick,
Amen.
Who runs the social on Cheesehead TV, because, you know, and I know his wife blocks me on Twitter, and it's all good, and there's no hate here, but, you know, I really missed you, Tyler. Cheesehead TV missed you, and I'm glad you're back.
Amen to
That's
that.
That's all I have to say about that.
Couldn't agree more. Speaking of things we're really, you know, happy about and glad for, we're really, really glad that so many of you are hopping on board our Patreon. Patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. It really means the world to us that you support the website in any way, from joining Patreon to hitting like on the video, subscribing to the channels. All we ask on Patreon is $5 a month. It supports everything we do. Patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. Thanks to everyone who shows up every week for the happy hours. They're always a lot of fun. Good conversation. Good times. Thank you. You got anything else until we head out into the evening here?
No, I'm really not looking forward for the first time I hear the horn. I'm just going to be honest about that.
Let me say this. You know, a couple years ago, we here at Cheesehead TV, you know, we put out the call. We put out the call for some brilliant, ingenious Packers fan to hack the horn. And let me
hack the horn,
I want to reiterate. I want to reiterate our offer. $10,000 if you can get the horn to play Go Pack Go during the game.
If you, are you paying the money?
The operator
you
will
just
hit
promise
the button for the horn, and it says "Go Pack, go." You get
$10,000. I love how Nagler just like offers up my money all the time.
$10,000, people. If it say, it has to play "Go Pack, go," can't just hack the horn and like make it stop. It has to play "Go Pack, go."
But does it have to go bump bump ba do do do? Or does it just have to be like
any iteration?
Like, does that count?
Any iteration. Yeah, if it's just the bass drum combo,
if it's
yes,
just like
that's fine.
Bounce.
How brilliant would that be? How brilliant would
That'd
it be?
Great.
If they went to press the button and it played "Go Pack Go." That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. Hack the horn, people! Somebody, do it.
Want to give a shout out, Leonardo Rodriguez, late super chat. Don't need to do the graphic. Hi from CR. Thanks for all you guys do. I've been an owner since 2011, but can I get a Go Pack Go for my mom, Patricia, that just became a shareholder this week?
All right, Patricia, Go Pack Go. What's up, Mama?
Go.
Mama owner
What's up,
in the
Mama
house.
Patricia.
Good job,
That's
Patricia.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Love to hear it.
Fantastic.
Love to hear it.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
What do we like to do? Put the best what out there? Come on, Nagler, help me out. Best five, all right? Best five.